Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Cardi Gam, put it up, man.
Damn.
Three strikes, baby.
Yeah.
Be down.
You ain't no shit.
I said, boss, it's
stand up.
Stand up.
The beat's on city, fair, boss, it's
stand up.
Stand up.
The beat's on city,
boss, it's
stand up.
Stand up.
The beat's on city, fair, boss, it's
stand up.
Stand up.
One time, say the name. One time, where we at? Bring it back home over the Celtics, the Bees, and the Patriots. Red Sox swinging, we beat them slugging. Aerosmith rocking out the big North Garden. Y'all don't want Tessie, y'all want Cardi. C-Top, 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 Roddy. I'm the only rapper allowed, bring metal like this. My life shows a vibe, start a riot like it. From South Side to Southie, Roxbury, Mattapan, Dorchester, Somerville, with the Hills, J.P.
Welcome to the Diamond on the Rough show with Charlie Alejandro and
Hey.
Man.
How's everybody going? How has everybody been? I'm hoping everybody's had a great May. Awesome April. We haven't been gone that long, but we're here. We're back. So, Mountain Man, what have you been up to?
Mountain Man has been packing for the last few days. Mountain Man is moving, just to let everybody, and I didn't even get that up, but let me get that up right now.
Well, that's kind of cool, because your location is going to be more central now, right?
Yes, it is, and I just brought one of the room, and hello to everybody in our chat room, the good old chat room, got it up and running, hello to all.
Yes, we have a full house in there. We finally got it up, and it's exciting to see. We've got Betty, Bill, Desiree. Welcome back, Freddie, longtime guest 10314, Mary Rose, Pandy 4795, Robert, Sherry Mitchell, and Starlight. And there's actually a few more people in there, too. Let's see, who else do we have? We have guest 10345 as well. Welcome to everybody in the chat room. We've got a full house. Sharon Mitchell wants to know, how do we listen to the show? If you haven't figured it out, if you go on our page, www.blogtalkradio.com, Ordinary Woman, WMN, which is where you've gotten into the chat room. If you look on the right-hand side, there's a little thing you hit there to listen. That's where the player is, so you can listen to us directly from there. So hopefully you've been able to figure out and been able to listen. In the meantime, we have some updates and stuff about going on. But before we go into that, Mountain Man, why don't you give them the call-in number and all the information?
And give me one sec. And if you would like to call for any questions, comments, and queries, you can call 1-347-989-1473. Or if you incur a toll, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-907-7217. Or if you have a Skype account, you can Skype us. Or if you have a smartphone, you can look us up on the smartphone. And
as well, yes. They actually have an app now on the smartphone that you can listen to us that way. You can also go to iTunes as well, and you can listen to us that way. So you're not technically downloading it when you listen to on it on iTunes. You can if you want to, but it's a lot quicker, especially if you have a slower internet connection. So you just Google Diamond in the Rough Show, Ordinary Woman, and we will pop up. Andy, hello. He's in the building. Andy, my army buddy, he's stopping by to visit. Haven't seen him in a while, not because of him. He's one of our faithful listeners, but we've been up and around doing our stuff. So it's nice to see that Andy's back along with everybody else. I'm really excited. It's a lot of transition going on. And today I'm actually broadcasting live. I have a small story to share. I'm broadcasting live from Philadelphia, and I have to tell you, it was quite interesting because I was actually here the other day when our team, the Boston Bruins, woohoo, for those hockey fans, were playing the Philadelphia Flyers, And where I'm staying right now, it's a very busy commercial area with a lot of restaurants and bars. And it was kind of funny, halfway through the game, you hear all this noise and this cheering and all that. And then at the end of the game, you could have literally heard a pin drop. It was like, whoa. It was interesting. It was very interesting to be on the other side when we're losing. And then the other thing was funny, too, because when I flew here, I had on my Celtics T-shirt. I saw the jersey, and I know, and it was the day they lost, too, right? So I was, like, totally bumming. And then I totally forgot my son had one on, too, so we both walk into the store, and the guy looks at us and goes, boo, and I'm like, what the world is wrong with you, dude? You know, it's like he started booing, and then it dawned on me that these two idiots, me and my son, just walked into the Wawa, in Celtics gear in Philadelphia, and we were wondering why the guy was booing at us.
That is too funny.
Walking it is. It's so real. It's so different.
Celtics gear on. How
yeah.
funny
well,
is
you know,
that?
It is. It's pretty funny. And here in Philly, they're really big on their sports. You know, I thought we were big sports fans in Massachusetts. It's insane. When the Flyers are playing, you cannot go 30 seconds without seeing someone wearing a Flyers shirt or a T-shirt or a jersey. And it's kind of the same when the Phillies are playing and the Lakers. I mean, not the Lakers, the 76ers. It's not as big with the 76ers, but the other two teams, because the 76ers haven't won in, like, forever.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't get as much love as, like, the Phillies, who have, obviously, a world championship. And, of course, the Flyers, who came back last year to beat us. We won't talk about that team. We
no,
were 3-0
no.
in this series, yeah. But anyway, so we're kind of back in the same spot right now, and hopefully this time we'll be able to hold on to it. So excited to do that. So for all of you that finally got into the chat room, we have a great chat room today. I'm so excited to see how full it is and that you're all back. And we have a great show tonight. Tonight we're going to have Kristen Lucas, who I had the opportunity to meet and work with. She's an amazing woman. She has written a script, which I absolutely love, Snowflake, and she did the trailer for it. And we actually got to go to the trailer premiere party she had in Worcester, and I loved it. I thought the trailer was great, and it's one of her projects that she's in the process of getting funding for, looking for funding, but now she's working on this other project as well with Steve, who is also going to be our guest tonight, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Also, we will have Bill McLean is going to be calling in later to give us an update on, yes, I'm excited, to give us an update on the red carpet premiere that he's going to be having coming up for Scooter Magruder. And I'm also hoping with Kristen and Steve that Z will be calling in. Z's an amazing dynamo. I love this woman. She was the driving force behind Bridge Crusader. I'll tell you, I have not seen a movie made like that in so long. See, that's my kind of thing. It's very artsy, but it had a great story. Because one of the things I notice with some filmmakers nowadays is that they go overboard with the artsy concept, so you kind of mm-hmm. lose the plot. You're kind of sitting there at the end of the movie going, duh, what was that about? Or it goes the other way. Yeah, exactly. You're like, what? Or you have these movies that are visually stunning, and they take themselves so serious that, again, kind of the plot gets lost a little bit in there as well. And then you have the other movies that have great plots, a great story, but kind of like, been there, done that kind of thing, where Bridge Crusader, if you guys have not seen it, you should check it out, because I loved it. I mean, the whole concept and how it was filmed and the angles and just the visual effects are phenomenal.
Wow.
That's funny. Andy says that's what happens when you let directors write their own films. Very true. Very true. I find that that is one thing that is very true, that when directors have a direct input, seriously, by they creating a character, because I find it challenging to have someone else create a character and then for me as a director to try to bring that character to life and do it justice. I'm not saying it's not done, just from my personal perspective, because these writers form a very intimate relationship with their characters, and unfortunately what I notice in Hollywood is that some really great stories, once they get into the director's hands, they change. And sometimes I don't feel they get enough input from the actual creators, which is the writers, to make that vision come true. But Bridge Crusader is definitely not one of them. It's amazing. I loved it. It's so different from anything that you will see nowadays that I fell in love with it. And there's another one. They're doing a series too, The Quest of the Indie Tube. Same thing. It's kind of like that artsy kind of cinematography that's really great, but the storyline is really quirky and cool, and I loved it. And I actually got the opportunity
that's
to...
good.
Yeah, it is. It was really good, and I got a little tiny part in it, so that was even better. But, yeah. So, real quick, before we go to the phone calls, to remind everybody, I'll give you my thought before we get started. Today's Thoughtful Thursday. Thoughtful Thursday, we have Memorial Day coming up, and for the next few weeks, we would like for you guys, again, we don't talk about whatever side of the war you're on. That is irrelevant. We're talking about the men and women that have served in the military. Let's not forget the ones that have come home. And I mean that because once a year, we do pay honor to the ones that fell in battle and died and moved on and made the ultimate sacrifice. But we forget about the hundreds of thousands that are back with injuries, not only physical, but mental, in the sense of the scars of what they saw and what they have to deal with. So this would be a good time for us to reach out as a country and to let them know that we haven't forgotten about them and that we're here for them and see if we can help out. A lot of times when we think about helping people up, we think it's we have to go so much out of our way. And the reality is $5 here, $10 there to an organization of your choosing that does help veterans, or even writing cards or visiting them or whatever to let them know that you're here and you haven't forgotten that they went and did what they did for us. On that note, I want to remind everybody that my friend Dan Paquette, he was on the show a few months back. He's an up-and-coming actor, but he is doing a charity run with the Boston Red Sox on May 26th. I will double-check my facts. But it's that Memorial Day weekend. They are actually having a fundraiser. It's called Run to Home Base. Run to Home Base, and it's a 9K, a 6.3-mile run, where they're collecting funds for the veterans that have come back with injuries and are going to need assistance from us. So it's a fundraiser, and Dan will be running it. This is his second year running. So if you guys feel the need, and I hope you do, to help him
the
out
need
in raising... Yes, the need to feed his fundraising. Dan has made a commitment of $2,000 to this organization. So if you guys could help him out, he's $600 still shy of his goal. Any little bit would help. If you go to Dan Paquette's page on Facebook, just look him up. I will put the link up in the chat room in a few minutes. But Dan Paquette Jr., you can go on there, and there's a secure link. You can go and you can donate your money directly. You don't have to mail checks to anybody you don't know. It goes directly to the organization. Every little bit helps. $5, $10, whatever, and all the money is being raised by the Boston Red Sox for the Veterans to Home program. And I will update you on all those facts when I have more when I have it up on my screen, because I don't want to give you wrong information. But that is a fundraiser that Dan will be doing. So, guys, remember, it's coming up. It's not. I know that Memorial Day is a great day to have cookouts and hang out with the family and appreciate those that are still around us. But it's also a great time to not forget the ones that have made physical sacrifices for us. So, yeah. That's where that's at. Mountain Man, what do we got? We got anybody calling in? What do we? Where are we at?
We got two calls. We got Z on one line, and I'm not sure. I forgot what line hers is, and then I came back, and I saw line two lit up. So
awesome. Why don't you let them both in, and we'll start from there. Sounds like
what
a deal.
Great switchboard operator I am.
You are.
Yes, we are professionals here, people. We are professionals here.
We are trained professionals. That's why Mountain Man says, I have a call, but I have no idea who it's from. You'll figure it out when you talk to them. Hopefully it's not like some prankster or something.
Oh,
my goodness. Yes, we are professionals. Let's deal with it.
Welcome to the Diamond on the Ref show with Mountain Man and Charlie. How are you guys doing tonight?
Hello.
Good. We're doing good.
So, okay, Z, I have you, right?
Yes.
And I also have Steven. Oh, great.
Yes.
And we have Steven.
Yes, Steve.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. Stephen, I'm going to start with you first. So, Stephen, could you please – I simply hate when people mispronounce my name because it's very common. So I don't like to do that to other people. Would you pronounce your last name for us?
Yes. It's Steve Nicander.
Nicander. Very good.
Right.
So I was close, but I didn't want to butcher it. So, Steve,
right.
Do you want to tell us – I am so excited to have you on – could you give us a little bit about your background and what led you to the Big Dream project that you're working on?
Sure. Well, my story all started about a little over 2 years or so ago. I was about reaching about nearly 650 pounds, super morbidly obese. I had been a food had never really been my problem, but I had been a 25-year alcoholic and nicotine addict. And I used alcohol just like most people do food to squash my depression. My weight started really early. And it had gotten to a point where I had all kinds of chronic illnesses, including diabetes and arthritis and chronic back pain, knee pain and joints and all kinds of other stuff. Of course, all the weight-related stuff. And I had gotten to a point where it had gotten so bad that I decided to finally quit the drinking in 2007. And I really thought at the same time that the cigarettes would be ended as well, but that really wasn't the case. It ended up to be twice as bad. And my health really started to take a nosedive from then. And so I started having problems with neuropathy in my feet, and I had problems walking, and it got really bad. I started falling. And so in 2009, I decided to go to the hospital and admit myself in the hospital. And I met a couple of nice doctors there, and we discussed all kinds of different alternatives that I could use. Of course, they wanted to talk about weight loss surgery. And I had already researched it online because I'm very internet savvy as well. And then I got to the point where I decided that because of pre-existing conditions and stuff that I wasn't willing to put myself through that kind of procedure, and I told him that if I was going to do this, I wanted to do it all naturally. He agreed with me, and he told me to go to a rehab. So they sent me to rehab, and once I got there, I decided to buy myself a laptop, and I started doing research on the internet about nutrition and fitness. And I was there about 2 months, and I could barely walk when I was there, and I basically left there in a wheelchair and on 24 hours oxygen because they had diagnosed me with COPD from the smoking. And I really in earnest started dieting as per se maybe there, but of course this institutionalized food that they give you in these places was really not diet food at all. It wasn't really helpful food. So once I got home, I continued my research and you know, trusted websites and famous doctors that know about nutrition, including Dr. Oz, Dr. Andrew Weil, who's the godfather of nutritional medicine, several others, Joel Fuhrman. And I kept making this connection that it was all about nutrition and nutrients. And it didn't have, even not only with the weight loss, but even to try to cure naturally these illnesses that I had. So I started my journey, and I started in earnest just about before the end of 2009. And in the beginning of the year, my sister, Sabrina, bought me a book by Dr. Daniel Amen called Change Your Brain, Change Your Body. And I read that book, and it was like life-altering because the way he talked about it is not only about weight. Now he's got a new one out now called The Amen Solution that's just based on weight. But this one's really about chronic illness and weight as a whole. And how to feed your brain, and it all starts with your mind. And you have to give the brain your right nutrients, and then anything whether it's chronically illness-related or weight, your body will start to respond if you give it all the right proper nutrients. So I started doing this. I read the book like twice, and then I started focusing, because of my research, on organics, mostly safe whole foods. And I really started, well, of course, in the beginning I was basically almost, you know, I was bedridden when I went to the hospital. And when I got home, I still wasn't that much better, so I was basically in a recliner. And I couldn't move that much, so I had learned a little premise with some working out with dumbbells and stuff at physical therapy when I was at rehab. So I bought myself some of those, and I literally started, because I'm a musician, so I started dancing in my chair with these dumbbells. And
that's awesome.
I knew, yeah, and I would turn on Pandora Radio, and I'd set myself up like a workout station, and I would just go, and I'd start dancing in the chair. And I knew something was happening because I was sweating profusely, and it was an air-conditioned house. So, and my doctor had told me in the beginning, he said, listen, if you lose a pound a week, which is like 52 pounds a year, you are doing great. So I had this huge, you know, amount to lose. So in the beginning, we decided, I wasn't even going to focus on numbers, you know, because it was going to take so many numbers and so much weight to come off. It was going to be like a 5-year plus plan. So,
right.
But I started doing it, and everything seemed to be working well. And we got into about 3 to 4, I guess, just about into the fourth month. We decided to do the first weigh-in. Well, I could already tell, you know, anybody that's, you know, losing weight, your body, you know you're losing weight. So
yeah.
My sister and I were on the way to the doctor, and I kept telling her, you know, I think I've lost. I bet you I've lost 40 or 50 pounds. And she
said,
Steve, you know, don't overshoot it, because if you get there and you stay on the scale, you don't want to get disappointed. And I was like, yeah, I know, but I'm telling you, I've lost like 50 pounds. So we got to the doctor's office, and they all gathered around, and I went to step on the scale, and Charlie, I had lost 156 pounds.
Hold the horse right there. Okay, now you went from being in a wheelchair where you had all these physical conditions, and you know, you, like you yourself said, you were over 600 pounds. So in a matter of, what was the time period when you got to that point and said, enough? This is something that I need to do for myself. So from that time to your weigh-in, how much time went by?
I would say 6 months. And 4 months in earnest of actually exercising, and a couple months prior to kind of get my mind set around how I was going to do this.
Wow. So let me back it up, because this is so huge. This is amazing to me. So in a matter of, you took, now, if you don't mind my asking, you don't have to be specific, roughly how old were you when you finally said enough is enough?
40, just a little over 40 years old.
Okay, so here you are, you're 40 years old, 41 years old, and you've had a certain lifestyle up to that point, and you get to this point, you have your epiphany or whatever happened, and you said enough. So you took 2 months to mentally prepare yourself. And the reason I really want to go over this is because this is where a lot of people have challenges in our society when it comes to regaining control over our bodies. We are in a society now that everything is instantly. So you took 2 months to not only prepare yourself mentally, but educate yourself by doing the research, being an informed consumer, saying this works, this doesn't, this is too dangerous, and finally committing to something. And then you said another 2 months to prepare yourself to say, this is what I'm going to do, this is how I'm going to do it. And then from there, 4 months to 156-pound loss.
Well, 156 pounds.
156 pounds, yes. 156 pound loss.
Wow.
And the doctor said, he said 50 pounds might have been water weight, which always happens in the beginning. The rest of that was all me. And in that 4 month period, I went from just dancing in my recliner to being able to stand with a walker. And then I started marching in place to the music. And I do this like 45 minutes to an hour, maybe out. An hour in the morning, and then I do it again in the afternoon. And this was just an everyday occurrence. And I promised myself when I left that rehab, I would eat an organic salad with raw vegetables every single day. So that's what I did.
Wow.
And that was the basis core of how I did it. I did that and water. I 80% or more of the liquid I drank was water and the fitness. And it just clicked. I mean, it just went and, like I said, I stood on that scale, and when I saw the amount that I lost, Mm-hmm. Within like 2 days after I went home from that doctor's office, I realized that this was doable by anyone. Okay, anyone that is in that same condition.
Right, Steve. Let me stop you right there because you've lived the journey. For the rest of us, like right now, I know that as much as I am, a lot of our listeners, their jaw is on the floor right now, because we have become as a society so into this. Well, you know, it's just because of a certain lifestyle, or it's so difficult to lose weight, or for us, we have really gotten ingrained into being taught to make excuses for our physical conditions, for our weight gain, for everything, basically. And now here you are, you took accountability and responsibility for yourself. Now, this is the reason why I really want to hit this point with our listeners, and it just, Steve, it goes to everything that I've talked about. The fact that you need to have the courage to say to your doctor, no, that doesn't work for me. That's not what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is what's going to work for me, and this is how we're going to work it. Because that's one of the things that, again, for some reason, we'll sit there and question a waiter 1,000 times about our food and the special and salt, no celery, pep, you know, whatever.
Yep.
Doctor says to us, do you have any questions? No. Really?
Yeah,
that's your body. Now, let me ask you, Stephen, what gave you the courage to be able to stick to your research once you did it? Because I know that we can be very informed, but then you have a doctor and he's got all these degrees, and we sometimes can be shy and say, okay, he knows better. What did you do to let our listeners know how you stood for what you learned, stuck to your guns, and followed that course that was best for you?
Well, I tell you, the first kind of like dangerous situation that I encountered through medications, and I just want to preface and tell your audience that at one time I was up to taking 10 different kinds of medications.
Oh my God!
Yes, and this is how most doctors are treating obesity with medications. Okay,
yes.
And I got to a point where my kidneys started shutting down, and they had to send me to a specialist before I even went to the hospital. And when I got to the specialist, he asked me this, of course, like all doctors do, list your medication. And I started going down that list, and I got to Actos, which was a diabetic medication, and the next one was my arthritic medication, which was Celebrex. And when I mentioned those in consecutive order, he looked at me and said, Stephen, stop them immediately. And I was like, why? And he's like, because. He says, in a big percentage of patients that take these two medications, you have exactly what you're doing right now. And they did the test, and it came back, and my kidneys had shut down to 40% and was dropping. I was on my way to dialysis because
My goodness. And that just blows my mind. And again, it's funny, Stephen, the timing for you to come on our show is phenomenal, because we have been talking about this for about a year, and one of our goals this year, starting in January, was to inform our listeners a way to become healthier in a natural way. And that is the one thing that I cannot emphasize to our listeners enough, and I'm so glad, Stephen, that you're touching on that point.
I am glad, too.
Yeah, because people will get prescribed medications, and we will take them blindly like cattle to the slaughter and not think anything of it. And I kind of went through something similar where I was being given all these medications for medical condition, and it really, you know, you get to that point where you sit there and you go, are these pills just something to shut me up and make me not go to the doctor that much, or is it really helping me? Because when you're taking a pill and all it's doing is making you sleepy or altering your mood, and then once your mood drops because the pill wears out, you got to do it again. It's a cocktail and it's a cycle. It's not healing you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's one of the things. Now, Stephen, I want to really hit on this because you talked about organic, and I like one of the comments in the chat room. Andy, it's a great comment. It says, you get a chance to vote with your fork 3 times a day. Getting that vote right, even only once a day, makes a difference. And it's very true. And one of the things that I have also emphasized to my listeners, because a lot of times I get the, I don't have time to work out, I don't have time to eat right. Tiny little adjustments can make a huge difference. And you talk about
simple
the fact
little
that
lifestyle
you,
things. Yep.
Exactly. You said you started with dumbbells and dancing in your chair, to
right.
and that led to you being able to actually march and work out and do all these things that you're doing now.
Yep.
So I want to really ask you again, when you got to that point that you were actually starting to move and the doctor told you, okay, you've lost 156 pounds,
right.
what did you feel like? What was your emotions at that particular point in time?
I felt, I lost it. When I saw the number, when I looked down, it was like the heavens had opened and the angels were singing, because I realized that I basically probably saved my life. And like you said, the doctor at first still was not convinced that I should keep shedding medications. In fact, he insisted that I take the statin drug and continue doing it. And he said, I take it myself. You know, I mean, it will help you prevent a heart attack and everything. And I told him, I said, Doc, you know what? I'll make you a deal. I'm going to quit taking it whether you like it or not. Because let's face it, I like to call them now. I'm sure they're doctors, and they are doctors, and they have degrees. But I like to call them health advisors, because they're advising you on their, you know, they're giving you advice. It doesn't mean you have to take it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if you've done the research and you see the dangerous, I mean, because every single pill has a side effect, every single one of them. And I've learned from experience and almost gotten bad conditions because of them that I was willing to stop. So I told him I'm stopping. And in 3 months,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to come back and do your test. You're going to check my cholesterol. Because I told him, I said, Doc, I'm eating salads. I'm eating organics. There's no way my cholesterol is going to be big. But he said, I want you to take it. I said, I'm not doing it. So 3 months, I come back.
Good for you.
And,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and I came back, and so we did the test. And, of course, you know, usually the doctor walks out of the office. Well, the nurse, I'm a very good friend of the nurse, and she came up to me and she said, Steve, I'm going to rush these results to you. So you be at home in the morning. I'm calling you with the results. So at 9
mm-hmm.
o'clock in the morning, she called, and she said, Steve, you better sit down. And when she said I was like, oh, my God, this is probably not good. Maybe I was wrong. But I sat down, and she said, now listen, Steve, this is not bad news, so I want you to relax right now. She said, I had to literally go back, and I've been at that office for 20 years. She said,
mm-hmm.
I had to literally go back and check every single result from your cholesterol levels through 20 years. She said, you just had the best cholesterol levels you've ever had since you've been a patient here. And I said, well,
that's
so much for that drug.
Awesome. That is
awesome. And from
awesome.
Then on, and in the same breath, they
mm-hmm.
said, guess what? Your type 2 diabetes, by the way, is gone.
That's
gone.
Another
Vanished,
thing I'm
glad.
Yeah, see, that's another thing that people,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's so prevalent now. And type 2 diabetes is growing at phenomenal rates. I mean, astronomical rates among kids between the ages of 10 and 15 when it was unheard of.
Yep.
20 years ago, and people are trying to make excuses for why that's happening, and it's a direct relation to what we're putting in our mouth. And it's so
that's
funny
cool.
because I know exactly what you're relating to, because my challenge was that I did start listening way too much to these so-called experts, and you're absolutely right. They are doctors, but they're only health advisors. They're not medical gods. They don't get it right all the time.
Yeah.
And a lot of time we also forget, and again, if there's doctors out there, call me and correct me if you're wrong, but because I do have people in the medical profession, having worked in the medical profession myself when I was a medical assisting and a nursing student, you know what? Whatever pharmaceutical rep happens to be in that office, a lot of the times, doctors are going to start listening to those certain medications, and after a while, you notice there's some medications that come in style, and then all of a sudden that the FDA, you know, the FDA says, well, they cost this and that, and then another one will come and take its place. So I noticed that there's, and it's so frustrating to see that usually you go to a doctor for an ailment, and they just want to push a pill on you instead of telling you you need to change your lifestyle. And Steve, one of the things that I know for me, I remember going to a physician and saying, look, because of this injury that I had and everything that go on, I'm gaining all this weight, and I would like to see a nutritionist because it's a different lifestyle for me now. You know, you go from being real active to not, of course you're going to gain weight. You know what this woman had the nerve to say to me? She says, well, you don't have diabetes and you're not considered morbidly obese, so I can't refer you to a dietitian. I said to her, so hold on, let me get this straight. You're telling me that you have a patient who is asking you to help her prevent diabetes, prevent severe obesity, but you can't help me until I actually have those two conditions. She says, yeah. Needless to say, I left that doctor right away, and
I
was like, really? So now, Steve, you are such an inspiration. So now you get to this point. So how did you get to Big Dreams, and how does Z play into this?
Okay, so this is it. So like when I got home and I lost this first 156 pounds, within 2 days, I said, like, it's bigger than me. Okay, I know that anybody else that's in these conditions, that have these illnesses, that have this tremendous weight, can do this if they get the correct information. So immediately, I had started on Facebook when I got into rehab. My sister recommended it because she said, all your old friends from high school and all these other people will cheer you on, and they did. I mean, they really did. Some old friends, and they kept me, my old first girlfriend, and all these people kept, you know, talking to me and saying, Steve, you can do this, you can do this. But I had gotten enough to know about Facebook that you could create your own group. So I created myself my own group called Steve's Massive Weight Loss Fan Page. And then I started taking all these information that I've been researching, all these articles, all these hints, all these tips, quotes, and inspirational, motivational quotes, and all this stuff, and I started posting them on my page. And at first, I wasn't getting a big response from a people. Of course, it was all my friends joined and all these people. And then I got to a point where I knew I had to, because I knew what kind of problem we have with obesity. I see it every day when I walk out on the street. Let's face it, you and everybody that's listening right now either has someone in their family that is severely overweight or obese, or you know someone or friend that has knows someone that is severely overweight or obese, or you've got a coworker that knows someone or someone that's severely, and it is that bad of a problem. And I knew that this problem, and I knew that a lot of these people just don't have the right information. So then I got to a point where I take my Facebook group, and I started like posting it out, and I took it and went on my local news stations, and I would post it late at night because then most of the web traffic would be gone. And that way in the morning when the newscasters would come on to check the page, they might see my story. And at this point now I'm posting, I'd already lost, like, I was up to like 190 pounds gone. And I kept posting. Pretty soon I was up to like 200, and then 225 pounds gone.
Wow.
And around 230 about September of that first year in 2010, I posted it on my local Charlotte, North Carolina news station, and this reporter, Jeff Campbell, who was a morning reporter, saw it in the morning, and he gave me a call. And he said, listen, Steve, we're about to have the Biggest Loser premiere for the new season. And he said, I would love to come up and do your story. And because he says, as far as I'm concerned, you're Charlotte's Biggest Loser, and we want to know how you did it and why you did it. And he said, I'm going to help you. So he came up and he did the story on me, and they took it and they started running it. It ended up premiering, I think it was September 22nd, which was the day premiere of The Biggest Loser. And they start showing it in the morning, and they showed it every single hour on the hour all the way towards noon. Well, it didn't take more than past 9 o'clock that CNN from New York called them, and they said, we need this story.
Awesome.
You got to send it to me. So they send it to CNN, and then CNN farmed it out to CNN International. And then within that same day, everybody picked it up, ABC, HLN, MSNBC, and it was playing all over the country. When that happened, within a 36-hour period, I received 650 emails and messages, not only from in this country, but from around the world. And it was encouragement. It was people wanting to know, people telling me their sorry and heart-wrenching stories.
Mm-hmm.
And that response that I got from that instantly, I knew I was onto something. I was like, I mean, I knew there was a problem, but I didn't think I was going to get that kind of response. And my
Now, Steve, the reality is, I'm going to stop you right there because there's just so much information flying that you have hit so many points that are so important. Because I know that, okay, 40 years ago, it was the opposite. You know, like, I'll give you an example. When I was in high school in you know, the early 80s, it was different because, you know, out of 300 kids in my class, maybe two were a little overweight. I'm talking a little.
And
you know, maybe
me too. Yeah, it was me too. Me and another gentleman were the only two. That was it.
Right. So that was it. So to us, it was like, what's wrong with them? And it was easy to place the blame. But when you're at a point in a society where 60% of the people are not just overweight, but severely overweight to borderline morbidly obese, you can't expect people that are being fed wrong information to know how to help themselves, especially because, like, you just so pointedly pointed out, doctors are not giving us the right information because, I hate to say it, and I know there's good doctors out there, but the majority of the doctors are all about the bottom line. And Andy made a very good point that when you have a doctor, they're not going to make money curing you. Their money comes from constantly having you take a pill that they're getting kickbacks on or that they're promoting or having you constantly go to the doctor's office to monitor these medications that you're on.
Yeah,
and
you know,
I liken it
to like I call it a pharmaceutical leash they have you on.
Yes.
So they can wrangle you in every 30 days and hook you up again, you know? And we are a pill-poppy society because you can turn on the TV and less than 1 minute you will see a drug commercial. And that was not this way 15 years ago. It just wasn't.
Nope.
And it's
very
same
true.
Thing with the fast food. It's the same thing with the fast food. And it's crazy.
You know, it's funny. It's true. And my point that I was making was the fact that we as a society have to stop and say, look, you can't expect someone, you can't tell someone that's overweight, listen, you need to just take this pill and suck it up and figure it out for yourself when you can't go and get the correct information unless, like in your case, where it took you 2 months to figure out what do I need to do and to get back to basics. And not everybody has that tenacity or that desire, because you have to admit, when you are in a situation where you're ill or you're severely overweight,
life or death it was for me. It really was
a life or death
situation.
You know what? You might not have the energy or the stamina or even the self-confidence or the ability to do that. And that was a big kudos to you for doing that and for now you reaching out to other people. So what my whole thing with this is that we as a society need to start standing up and taking accountability for ourselves. And remember,
absolutely,
these doctors, they only have knowledge. Any one of us can pick up a book and read the same books that they have. The only difference is they've read it longer than us, they've studied it longer than us, and someone gave them a test that says, yeah, they know what's in that book. But that book isn't the do-all, die-all, because the book they read last year is obsolete this year, and it's a whole new book. We keep forgetting that. And doctors, yeah, they get retrained, and they do that, but not to that extent. And the other thing that gets me is, it's funny, because we had this conversation. When you're talking about Eastern remedies, and you're talking about Western medicine, you know, people are like, well, does that really work? Well, okay, I suffered from migraine headaches from 20 years. I went to every single doctor, and all they did was pushing pills. I went to an acupuncturist, and after two sessions, my headaches were gone.
Yep.
Really?
Wow. Holistic.
You know what I'm saying? Holistic medicine is really the way to go. And these medicines have been around for thousands of years.
Thousands of years. And you know, that Actos thing, when I had that problem, this is when I finally turned myself on to natural supplementation because I immediately started researching Eastern medicines. And lo and behold, this herb, and actually it's a seed called fenugreek, which has been used in China for, like you just said, 1,000 years to metabolize blood sugar, is one of the main things they have taken to cure any kind of high blood sugar. And when he told me to quit taking this Western medicine Aptos, I started taking this ground seed called fenugreek, and it was having the same metabolizing effects as the pharmaceutical medication.
Wow.
It's very true. It's very true, because for me, I know that the same thing. I had this I couldn't sleep at night, and they're like, take the sleeping pill. Great, I'll take the sleeping pill. I'll be knocked out for 18 hours. Really going to be effective for my family. Then I go and I take, you know, melatonin and a natural supplement, and it relaxes me. I'm not jittery. I'm not dragging the next day, and I get the supplement naturally into my body. And I'm sitting there, how are you going to tell me this doesn't work? It's been around for thousands of years. Modern medicine, as we know it, is less. And I'm giving it a little extra. It's less than 500 years old. And I'm talking about the time when they were drilling holes into our brain to let it, you know, to bleed us out and that kind of stuff. So if you want to call that medicine, we'll give you that much. 500 years is how long our so-called modern medicine has been around. And in theory, only 200 years. Because if you look at the medical conditions, I mean, and the sanitary conditions back to the days of Florence Nightingale and that, not exactly the profession you wanted to go into. So in reality, you're talking 1800s to now is the inception of actual modern medicine. You're going to trust that more than something that has been thousands of years from countries that if you look, the United States right now, and I want our listeners to really do the research. I'm just throwing facts out there. We in the United States are an industrious society. We are one of the richest. We're one of the most progressive. Yet, our obesity rates, our heart disease rates, our cancer rates, all our illness rates, and the mortality rate are so much higher than some third world countries. Really?
Crazy. Yeah, I know.
There has to be a challenge. So now, Steve.
Now here's I have a caller
go
on
ahead,
the line.
Mom. Okay, hold on. That's probably going to be Kristen. We're going to bring her in a minute.
No. If you wait a second.
Okay.
Let me finish, please.
No. It's my turn. Go ahead.
I have a caller that
I'm so excited to have Steve on the show. It's like, he thinks he's excited.
This person had seen Steve on the CNN, and
awesome. She
would like to
comment
or make...
Absolutely.
The
bring her in.
All right, hold on. Welcome to the show. Who's this?
Hi, my name is Rachel.
Hi, Rachel. How are you?
I'm good.
Welcome to the Diamond in the Rough show. So you actually saw Steve on television. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
I will. I myself have lost, and Steve knows me. It's Rachel. Hi, how are you, Steve?
Hey, how you doing, Rach?
I'm good. I myself, I've lost 100 pounds strictly with diet and exercise, and I'm still struggling to get the last maybe 20 off.
Oh, my goodness. Wait, stop right there.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
is amazing.
You.
Amazing.
Hey,
good for you.
I was watching CNN, and it was early January, and there was a story on CNN where I guess they rebroadcast from the other programs. And, you know, around the first year, they always have all those different snippets of, you know, here's how to lose weight, and here's the newest diet, and all that kind of ridiculousness. Well, they showed this clip of Steve, and that's how I learned about the Steve's massive weight loss. And I felt such a connection to him because his story is so similar to mine, although, you know, Steve is certainly more awesome than I am because he's lost that much more weight. But I felt such a connection with him that I immediately sought out this page on Facebook and sent him a message saying, please be my friend, and if I ever meet you, I want to hug you.
I love it.
And ever since then, I have cheered him on, and he has cheered me on. And it is so refreshing to have this voice out in the wilderness that is speaking the truth. Because
mm-hmm.
I have had so many people who have said to me, coworkers, I work in a hospital. I've had coworkers come up to me and say, you look great. Did you have gastric bypass?
Yeah.
And when I say, no, I just watch what I eat and I exercise,
mm-hmm.
I get this blank look of,
right.
you know, well,
are
sure.
Are you
right.
serious?
You mean really? Everybody
clearly,
knows that doesn't
you know,
work.
you didn't get kidnapped by space aliens and get a special probe that caused you to lose weight or something ridiculous like that. What is your secret? The secret is I watch what goes
Holy
in my
moly.
Mouth. And if there are ingredients that I don't recognize, then I don't eat it. You know, I kind of have followed a system called eating clean, and the idea is if you can blot grease off of it with a napkin, it's not clean, you don't eat it. If there are ingredients you don't recognize, it's not clean, you don't eat it. Would your grandmother recognize this as being a food product? If not, then don't eat it.
Rachel, that is so basic. And it's funny, too, because I have to share something real quick. My son and I were watching television, and I won't mention the name because I'll probably get sued, but this major food chain, fast food chain, they were hyping up this product saying, now made with 100% white chicken. And my son and I looked at each other going, what the hell did they have in there before? Because they're called chicken nuggets.
Right, right. Exactly. It's amazing and it's sad. And I joke around about it, but I was so embarrassed when I was that overweight to go to a gym. I had, you know, earlier in my life I had been very active. I did ballet, I did gymnastics, I did cheerleading. You know, I did all kinds of things, and for a variety of reasons I wound up gaining quite a bit of weight. But I was embarrassed to go to the gym, and so I started walking on my lunch break. And I would go out and walk in the parking lot, and I would do laps in the parking lot because I wasn't getting too far away and my boss could come find me if they needed me, you know, but it was something that I could do. Or now if, you know, on the off times where I don't have a big patient load, I literally, instead of sitting at my desk, I walk as quickly as I can up and down the hall. Now,
right.
That's not the answer to everything, and, you know, that only helped me so far, and I needed to start incorporating other exercises in order to keep doing what I was doing. But in the very beginning, it was all I could do, and I was too embarrassed. I was like, there are no exercise clothes for me. You know, I'm going to be the fattest woman in the gym. People are going to look at me. People are going to laugh at me, you know, that sort of thing. And it was humiliating.
I want to stop you right there, Rachel, real quick. I want to hit on something because that's something that's very true. And the reality is, someone mentioned in the chat room earlier that it's about adjusting our thoughts. And we have to get to a point, and this is something that I advocate to all my listeners, that it's very tough to do, but we have to realize that basically, if someone's laughing at you at the gym, well, that's their ignorance, because that's what you go for a gym to. It's like
right.
this. It's
you
like, you know what's funny? Exactly, because my husband made this perfect point. He's like, sinners go to church. If you were perfect, you wouldn't have to go to church because you're perfect. If you were a perfect size 2, okay, why are you going to the gym to maintain? Great, you're there for half an hour and then you're out. Sick people go to the hospital, not well people. So we need to get over that. And again, it's because of all this, and I have to use this strong word, crap, that's being shoved down our throats in America, especially females. Like, one of the things that really is my pet peeve, and I'm sharing this with all the females out there. Anytime I see a woman looking at a fashion magazine, I want to roll that magazine up and whip them upside the head with it. Because it's been scientifically proven that women's self-esteem and their mood diminishes for a good couple of hours after. Really?
All media does that to women.
I'm sorry, but, you know, the average, exactly, the average American woman, average, is 5'4". She's a size 10. She is 144 pounds. She's not 6'1". She's not 115 pounds. And she's not a size 00.
Sure.
That's not normal.
I actually have a theory about fashion models, and that's that fashion models want someone who's basically a very large walking clothes hanger.
That's exactly what it is. And the clothing
hangs off of their body like a clothes hanger. Nothing to interrupt the line of the clothing.
Absolutely. And Rachel, you're not being facetious, because I have actually heard a fashion designer that I work with say that. I don't. Yes. He actually said, I don't give two bleep bleeps what she looks like. She needs to create a perfect moving hanger line for my clothes. Yes. It's all about making my clothes look good. And yes. the reality is that if you look at 99% of the fashion that comes out during Fashion Week, the average American woman will never wear it, ever.
Well,
there's
sure.
nothing in
and
there that will do anything for
it. All said, wow,
mm-hmm.
that looks so much better on the hanger than when I actually put it on my body.
Because that's how it was designed.
Oh,
look.
Exactly.
You know,
that's
if
exactly
that's the
it.
Case, then it's a work of art. Let's hang it on the hanger and leave it there. No, but Rachel, your story is very inspirational. Now, do you have anything that you'd like to share with Steve?
Keep up the good work and keep fighting the good fight. And you know, it is a never-ending process.
Yeah, I know. It's a full job,
you know,
it's a job
I wish
in and
that,
of itself.
Yeah. I have people who, coworkers who say to me, well, you know, oh, I'm actually now a marathon runner, and my joke is that I used to run to the bathroom and run to the fridge, and now I run full 26.2-mile marathon.
She just did the national marathon, too, by the way.
I did the national marathon, Marine Corps. Things along those lines, but in part it's because I'm pushing and pushing myself to do more, to be more, to, you know, how far can I go? My goodness, how wonderful would it be if everybody could pull one kid aside and say, do you know how much potential you have? I had no idea that I could run marathons.
Yeah,
if I would have been
absolutely.
Told as a kid that I could be a marathon runner, I have no idea what I could be right now.
Rachel,
so
I know. It is. It's so true. And even with the fact that, you know, everybody assumes that, oh, well, she ran a marathon. She's been doing it her whole life. No, it takes that first step. Everybody knows, for example, the famous runner. I call him the famous unfamous runner because you have to be in the runner circles. The Penguin Bingham. He started where he said, my height, the inches to my height were the same inches to my waist. That's how he was like, I was roly-poly. And he made the decision that he was going to go out and run. And he said, I ran from my front door to my driveway and almost passed out and died. Like, that was what he quoted. He's like, but you know what? He's kept it. And his motto is waddle on. He's like, there's the ones that are going to win the race. And then there's the rest of us that we're the middle of the pack, end of the pack. And the reality is, guys, when it comes to maintaining your health or regaining your health, like Rachel, in your case with running the marathon, and myself, when I started running, I did my half marathon, I'm not going to beat the Kenyans. I'm not going to beat the Russian chick in the front. No way. It's not going to happen.
But you're finishing, and that's all there is.
That's
the thing.
Exactly.
That's all it is.
Not
you're
everybody
finishing.
Is going to be a gazelle. And
it's
not.
It's okay
not.
To
but be guess the what? Rhino, but once the rhino starts running, you better look out.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
And I'm the
proud
rhino
is
in the back of the pack.
Yeah, and the reality is people are like, well, you're not going to win. But I'm running 26.2 miles more than you are.
But how many
right.
people actually
and
do
it's,
win? You know, it's a very
yeah,
small
exactly.
number of people
it's,
that win prize money. And you wouldn't say to somebody who is a tennis – it's so strange because you wouldn't say to somebody who enjoys playing tennis, well, you know what,
mm-hmm.
you're never going to be in Wimbledon. You know, it's the same kind of thing. I'm never going to win prize money when running a marathon. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's a handful of people who do that. But
you know what you are doing, Rachel.
People who want
yeah.
to do other forms of exercise.
You're winning in life every single day.
Very true, Stephen.
Put down for it.
No, and the thing is, Rachel, Stephen made a valid point. You are winning every day in life because your quality of life has improved 1,000%. You feel good about yourself.
That's
the longevity. For me, one of the things that when I was at my darkest hour with all the medications and stuff was, what kind of quality of life am I going to have with my grandchildren when they come? And, you know, there's no quality of life. All these medications do is prolong your life and make it sometimes a lot worse. For Stephen can advocate, I mean, supposedly those pills and everything were keeping you alive. You were in a wheelchair. You were surviving just basically from 1 minute to the next, to where you are now, where you're actually living life. And that's what this is what about. And people, you have to take Stephen's example and even Rachel's, that she started going around in circles in a parking lot to running marathons. Stephen talked about the fact that he started sitting in a chair with dumbbells, wiggling to music, to an active lifestyle with all the weight that he's lost.
Yeah,
so the reality,
in fact, I've been doing I've been doing a recumbent exercise bike now for well over a year, and Rachel has been one that's been cheering me on, and I finally actually reached a marathon length. What was it, Rachel? Now it's been many months now, but
I eclipsed
the 26.2 mile distance myself in about 90 minutes on my bike. Yeah. From not being able to do even barely a mile when I first started.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. Yeah. And sadly, I'm not, again, to my listeners, this isn't a negative comment. When I say there's no excuses, is the reality is, and I just read this recently, it said, we get to a point in life where it hurts more not to do it than to do it. And the reality is, when we wake up one day and stop lying to ourselves, and I mean lying to ourselves where I can't do this, the doctors know best,
honesty,
this is too hard.
You have to be honest with yourself.
You have to be honest with yourself, and that's when you're going to get to that reaching point. And Stephen, you mentioned something that was really cool, because I'm a big advocate of that, because people, like Rachel was saying, how she was embarrassed to go to the gym. So a lot of women, I get the, well, I'm going to lose 20 pounds, then go to the gym. Really? That's kind of putting the cart before the horse kind of thing. You mentioned that you have to listen to your body, and one of the things that I've always advocated is, if you start working out, no matter how little it is, your body is going to start talking to you. Like you said, you started sweating, and that sweating is going to lead to, ooh, I think I need to drink more water. And after a while, Rachel mentioned that if she can't recognize it, it's not going in her mouth. If she can put it on a napkin and this gulp on, not going in my mouth, that's your body talking to you. That's what we need to start getting in touch with and connecting. So now, Stephen, here you are.
Speaking of a connection.
Yes.
Speaking of a connection.
Yes.
I do have a gentleman on the line waiting patiently that Steve knows. His name is Jeff. Steve has met Jeff in a rehab, so I would really love to bring him on. And
absolutely. Okay, so Rachel, thank you very much for calling, honey.
Love you, Ray.
Your story is inspirational. And Rachel, I would really love for you to email us. If you can go to our blog talk and actually hit us up with your information, I would love to do a write-up on our blog about you and your amazing journey. Yeah, I'm telling you, because that's you are what we are about. So just make sure you email us. You can hit us up directly through Blog Talk, and we'll get back to you, because we definitely want to make sure we get you a write-up in our blog about that.
Sure. Very good. Thank you.
If you
Thank
are,
you,
better,
Rachel.
Keep running.
Have a great night.
Now, Stephen, before we get Jeff on, quick question. Did you ever in a million years think, when you were wiggling around in your chair with your dumbbells, that you were going to look down the road and have these people saying to you, you're such an inspiration to me?
No. And it's just a wonderful feeling. But now I can see, some story. And Rachel's only one person. I mean, there are hundreds, and now I've got over 1,000 of the people that are following me. And these people, that's why I say that they're so misinformed. You know, some people, even though they thought they were healthy, when I start talking about things like GMOs and all the kinds of stuff, that safe foods and stuff, and these people had no idea that this is going on in our country. And like Rachel was talking about, I mean, simple things like just reading a label. If you pick a label up, and I say read labels religiously, because if I say I can give your audience a really quick, easy tip, and I give them all my friends and everybody on my page. If you can reduce three things, reduce your bad fats, your sugars, and bad fats, sugars, and oh my God, now I'm blanking on the other one. Sodium is the worst. So if you start reading your labels and you start to look and you see, I mean, there are sometimes in a single serving the amount of sodium there is that you're supposed to have the entire day sometimes. It's ridiculous.
You know, it is ridiculous. And it, just to talk about that, because, and again, the lack of knowledge, we hear about diet foods. Okay, Lean Cuisine and all these other ones, I'm probably going to get sued because I'm mentioning these. But the reality is that if you look at them, like you said, read the labels, the sodium content on that, you're like, ugh. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, they take the fat out and jack up the sodium. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and I know
but a
for
lot
me,
of those frozen dinners, I mean, you... Charlie, you are right, and the name that you just said, but that's not the only name that's out there. You
no, I was just giving an example, and then you have the so-called, you figure, oh, it's convenient, you eat the soup, but you're eating crap, basically, that's what it is, and that's one of the things that, and another thing you mentioned, Stephen, which is so true, even when you're healthy, you can be very ignorant sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I know for me, when I was at my ideal weight and I didn't have a health issue, I didn't think twice about putting a hot dog in my mouth or a hamburger in my mouth because I'm like, well, I'm just going to go run it off. But then it was things like, okay, I ate a hot dog, yet 4 hours later I have a splitting headache.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't making the connection to the nitrates in there or all the artificial ingredients. It wasn't until, you know, my health started decaying that I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. What am I really putting? The hormones that are going into the food. When you mention organic, people in this country have totally forgotten what organic means because of all the chemicals and the processing ingredients that they put to make your food, quote unquote, look healthier and. But it's not healthier because of all the junk in it. So definitely organic is something that's so important for you to go. So, Steve, from there, and, you know, I have to tell our listeners, we'll stop here real quick because we're past the hour. It's 8:06. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio, and this is the Diamond in the Rough Show with Ordinary Woman and Mountain Man. And our guest is the phenomenal Steve Kander. And I have just, like, Steve, I am a very religious person, and I have a belief that God will send people into your life when you really need them. And I feel that you coming into my life at this point is just like the thing that I needed because of you get frustrated when you're like, okay, I kind of think I know what I need to do, but I don't know if that
you've
works.
You've blown
and
me away.
Yes, and it's
you
funny because Mountain Man can tell you, Steve, we have had this conversation with him because Mountain Man, as he shared on other shows, he has physical disabilities and he's had a bit of a weight issue, and you right now are like his idol because he gets what we've been trying to tell him, that little steps, it only takes little steps.
It
so,
really
Steven,
does. Just simple lifestyle changes can make, you can see from me, and I just want to tell you listeners really quick, I have now lost 360-something pounds in less
than
2 years. I am 275 pounds right now.
What? Wait, hold on. Time out. Back. Hold the presses. Wait, hold on. Rewind.
Then I
want to
bring Jeff on after this.
Yeah, so you said here's a five-year plan that in your mind, oh, yeah, five-year plan. Okay, so you blew everybody away. Never mind. 4 months into it, you lost 156 pounds. Because the other thing our listeners forget is that when we, and this is a commercial they have out there now, a body in motion stays in motion, a body not in motion doesn't go anywhere. So the reality is that when you have been very non-active, very sedentary, and you suddenly start moving, very little movements is huge because all of a sudden my body's like, oh, wait, hello, what is this?
Hello.
Didn't know
the
I was here before.
Hello. Are we all here?
Yeah, it's like, whoa. So the reality is that those 4 months when you started bumping up your physical activity, the average person might go, really? But that's nothing. It was something because it's something more than you did the day before. And that's what we keep
like
telling it. 100%
more than I did, right?
Yeah, right, because I tell them, like, someone says to me, oh, I only did 5 push-ups. Well, that's 5 more than you did yesterday. Trust me, tomorrow you're going to feel them. So it's all about the baby steps. Now, I have to ask Steve, when you got this page, it picked up, all these news medias started talking about it. When did you decide to take it to the next step and where you're going now with it?
Well, it got to the point, and they did the story, and again, I just had this huge response from people, And then I got to a point where I decided that maybe I would start to speak out a little bit about these issues. And I've done a little bit of public speaking. I'd love to do some more. But at the same time, I decided that I need to maybe try to push to maybe try to get myself onto a national talk show. Because I was starting to have this huge success that I figured, my God, I mean, people need to hear this, because the response I was getting from all these people on my page are like, we want more. I mean, you're so incredible, and we didn't know this. And, man, you've got to tell this country what's going on. There's a need for it. And
absolutely.
So I started pushing for this. And like you were talking about Z and everything, Z happened to be one of these people that started following me on Facebook. And that's how we
And she's not the only one.
No,
and
that's right.
And I have to tell you, for people that don't know Z is like phenomenal. When she gets her teeth and her hands into something and she is passionate about it, watch a mama, because she is unstoppable. She is definitely the type of person that will get you where you want to go. So where do you envision it, CNN? And what exactly is the big dreams?
Well, what
Can
this
I say
is,
something?
Yeah, go
Absolutely.
For it.
Absolutely.
Steve is a little hard to compete with sometimes.
But I'm sorry, Z.
Everybody, let me tell you something, Z, real quick. In this show, everybody knows, it's like Dutch rope, sweetie. You just kind of got to jump in, because you got these three big mouths going. Just jump in, sweetie.
And I'm going to bring Jeff on too.
Okay, I'll be very brief. I've been working on a documentary film for a long time, and funding has just dried up for that sort of thing. And I went to a pitch fest in February where I saw execs from History and Discovery and channels like that talk about reality shows.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been trying to figure out how I can do a documentary-style show, not a character-driven fake reality show, but a documentary-driven
right.
reality show. For television, where I could actually do what I love and actually be able to fund it. So I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I happen to be one of those people who had gastric bypass. And I've lost 125 pounds since I had that, and I've lost 205 pounds from my highest ever in my life.
That's awesome.
My life had changed a lot. It started coming to me one day, you know what, there are so many shows out there about losing weight. I won't name them, but there's at least 10 or 12 shows, some regular, some documentaries, some occasional series. But there are no shows about that focus on life after losing heaps and heaps of weight.
Exactly. That's a very good point, Z, because you're absolutely right, because everybody's saying, you know, this sensationalism about losing the weight, but there's so much more life left afterwards, and the story that Steve has to share, that is a great concept for you to come up with.
Well, and the thing is, though, it's my life. I have done all kinds of wonderful things since I've lost so much weight that I've never been able to do. Like indoor skydiving and things like that, and I'm a real go-getter kind of person. But anyway, so I'm thinking about it for a day or two, and the name Big Dreams gets dropped on my head from the universe. And and I start thinking, and then I realize, oh, there's this guy I've been watching down in North Carolina on his Facebook. Man, I need to contact him. And I'm just like being led along by some mystical voice to do these things. And I reached out to Steve, and then I also reached out, once these things started coming together, I reached out to Kristen Lucas, who's our other producer, who also has had gastric bypass. And we'd known each other, but not had really connected too well, but she had some problems with her gastric bypass, and we connected over that. She's all in great shape now, but we had that connection. And she has Goldilocks Productions. She's real involved in New England film. And I mentioned it to her, and she's just kind of looking at me, and I could tell, like, her you know, her brain was ticking. And so we realized we needed to bring Steve up. And I who knows why this all clicked in my head. Who knows why Steve said sight unseen he'd get in his van and come up here, but he did, and look what's happening.
Wow. You see, exactly, because this is the time, and this is funny because I remember a few months back I basically told everybody, our listeners, look, it's the time for a revolution. And I'm not talking like, you know, go out and shoot people in the streets. I'm talking about a revolution because the statistics are frightening. When we are on track right now as a country for our future generations, for example, my children's children will be the first generation that not only will they be financially less, financially worse off than we were, but they're also going to be, their health is going to be worse off, their longevity is going to be worse.
Yep, their longevity is going to be, they're never going to outlive their former parents and stuff. And
are you kidding me? This is the first time in world history that has happened, except when there's been instances of major plagues.
Right.
And I believe that's what this is. This is really an epidemic proportion.
Right. You hit it on the head.
I think Big Dream, the people that we've been telling it to about are just like totally freaking out of how incredibly inspiring they think it's going to be. And we're going to try and get it on a cable program. We have several particular ones in mind. But in this will segue us into Jeff. We decided to do a promo reel, and my sister graciously donated $3,000 to us to do that because we don't have any money. And we convinced Steve to come up. And one of the things that we want to do is to show people what big dreams that we have and can do now, but we also want to inspire those who have not yet started on their journey or are struggling with it. And Steve had been talking to this gentleman, Jeff, who lives in Virginia, who was in the same boat that he was in a couple years ago. And Jeff wonderfully allowed us to bring a camera in to interview him while on the journey from North Carolina to here. Steve stopped in on him and visited him.
Oh, wow. That's
and so
awesome.
We were able to bring this to our trailer. So we're just real excited about it. You can find us on Facebook, and our website is realbigdreams.com, and you can just follow the development of everything. But that segues you right into Jeff there.
Well,
so
I'm
it's realbigdreams.com.
Yes,
realbigdreams.com. Yep.
Awesome. Awesome. I'll put that up there on the chat.
We've got a full house here.
We do. Jeff, put Jeff on. I want to hear what Jeff has to say.
Jeff, are you with us?
I'm right here. Mountain.
Hey,
welcome,
Jeff.
How are you?
I'm doing great tonight. I'm at home in Virginia enjoying my family, where just a week ago I was in a nursing home/rehab with not a lot of hope to go on, except for the visit from Steve, and I was missing my family, and I'm actually doing some walking now, and I also, like a lot of people, met Steve on the TV a year or so ago, and then I started talking to him through Facebook, and I wasn't ready. I hadn't hit my, as they say in the AA world, I hadn't hit my bottom. And
yes.
6 weeks ago, I went into renal failure, kidney failure, which turned into septic. I had an infection in my blood, and I had a
blood poisoning.
And I had an infection in my leg. And I was really, really sick. And I came out of it after 2 weeks of being in the hospital, and they sent me into a nursing home, which I did not want to go. And I went for rehab and wasn't even able to stand. And I went from not being able to stand to being able to roll over. And I started realizing that this is where I better make a change. And then, lo and behold, I got a call from Steve saying, listen, I'm on my way up there to visit you. And I didn't realize what it was all about. And he came by. He brought me a couple of books and a couple of gifts to help me and to inspire me, and a couple of things to help me take baby steps, and so a little bit of advice. And I really reached inside my soul and realized that I had to make a change, not only for myself, but for my 7-year-old and for my wife. And I decided then and there that, you know, this was going to be the beginning of something. So while I was at the rehab, I was managed to lose about 50 pounds. And
wow.
I'm home now. I'm eating out of the Biggest Loser cookbook. As I mentioned, I wasn't walking. I wasn't even walking 2 weeks ago. And now
wow.
I'm walking 25, 30 feet 6 times a day.
Wow.
It really is, as Steve puts it, it's baby steps. And I'm in the beginning, and there's a lot of people out there like me. I just want to emphasize one thing. There's a lot of people that need our help, Steve's help, Big Dream's help, people that need inspiring, people that need advice, people that need real information. Because when you get this big, when you get in this position, you're cut off from the world, baby. You don't know what's – you're hopeless and you're helpless. And you need inspiration, and that's what Steve has given us. And he has really become my mentor, and I believe in what he's doing. And there's nothing, if you look around him, his aura is beautiful. There's nothing negative about the man. He has a beautiful way about him. He carries himself well, and he tells the truth. He tells it like
it is. I love you, brother.
See, that is so important, and that really hits me, because this is why we started the show. We started the show for people out there that needed to hear the truth, needed to get information, and needed to make a change in their life in whatever area. And that's one of the reasons why I was so excited about having Steve on the show, because I know, and again, I'm not in a situation like you guys are, where you're at 600 pounds or, you know, 500 pounds. But for me, when I was put on a medication and I gained 40 pounds in a month, and you're like, what the hell? I've never weighed this much. It's not normal to me. It really double whams you. It really does, because of the fact that all of a sudden, when you guys talk about not wanting to go to the gym, your clothes not fitting, I work in an industry that's very superficial. I'm not going to lie about that, because it's FaceTime. You know, it's motivational speaking, acting, and you know, and you're a technical advisor, too, on certain things. It really does a number on your head. You're still the same person, but you don't get looked at as the same person. You don't get viewed as the same person. And when
you
have these
judged.
So-called experts telling you, oh, but this is the right thing to do, and your body is going, no, it's not. Don't listen to them.
People
it's
don't
very
even
scary.
Wanna...
And Steve, it's so inspirational to hear you to have said, enough is enough. I have to start listening to myself. And just the fact that you're so amazing. Jeff, thank you so much for calling and sharing your stories with us. And I'm sure that it means a lot to Steve to hear that from you.
Thanks, Steve. Loved everybody. Thank you.
I love you, bud.
Steve, one of the things that's going to come out of this right now is that I'm going to have you come back on the show next week, because there's no way, absolutely no way, that we can do it justice in the little time that we've spent with you. Do you think I could get you to call back in and be on the show with us next week again?
Absolutely, again, Charlie.
And
yes,
Charlie,
sure.
This is how we're going to get this show on TV. Is getting the word out there, getting a following, getting people to come to our Facebook page with Big Dreams. When we can show these numbers and this following to the people that we're going to take this to, they're going to say, oh, duh, yeah.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because
what
you,
I really
you can
want...
see that the thousands immediately that are following, if I can have a national forum to get out to, we might be able to start affecting the consciousness of this nation. And it is time to take America's health back. It is time that we get serious, because if we all got healthy, insurance costs would go down, health care costs would go down, work-related calling in and not being able to, you know, sickness would go down, and we need the truth. And like you said before, the doctors just don't have the proper nutritional information to give these people.
No,
and
they do not.
And they use medications as a first line of defense. And
mm-hmm.
if we start thinking about Father God and Mother Nature, and bring
mm-hmm.
it simply, I had the opportunity to meet Dr. Oz last year when he came
mm-hmm.
to my hometown. And at that time, I only lost 170 pounds. But he
mm-hmm.
told me, see, what you're doing, you are putting 20 or more years back on your life. You're prolonging
yes, absolutely.
Your life. You continue doing what you're doing, you will eventually get your body to optimum health. And I don't think people realize that real safe foods that come out of this earth, because they take all the nutrients. We are earthbound people. We are
mm-hmm.
born from this earth. We go back to the earth. We need the nutrients, the vitamins, and the minerals that come out of the earth, not in a plastic bag in the grocery store, not in some jar full of fake cheese. And if
yes.
we started thinking like that, again, and simply, like Dr. Oz says, think about a caveman. They were hunter-gatherers,
mm-hmm.
but most of the stuff they gathered were nuts and berries and vegetables and fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And the meat was very, very small because that's where their exercise came from. They had to hunt the meat, and it would take them weeks to get them. And yes,
right.
they would gorge on meat for a little bit, but then they'd right back to the gathering again. And if we
right.
started
wow.
thinking like that on a whole again, and start simply, it's simple, pure food, it is absolutely going to cure things like cancer and diabetes and all
yes.
these different things. We just have to
it's,
do it.
It's absolutely true. And, you know, it's funny. One of our chat room people, Tim, he says, it's time for a weight loss revolution, baby. And it's so true, but it's way beyond that. It's time for us as a society to take our health back into our lives and to seriously start thinking about what in God's name are we putting in our mouths? What are we letting people sell to us as food? What are we letting them tell us that's, quote, unquote, all natural? All
mm-hmm.
natural
right.
life.
Yeah, that's the new
all
monitor.
Natural doesn't mean
that?
I'm
going to
eat it.
Yeah, that's true. Have you
and
noticed
now
that
you
when
know.
You go to the grocery store now, it's all natural,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like that thing, the point you were making before, like
yeah.
with the 100% chicken. What was it before? Well, if it's
yeah.
all natural, what was it before when they weren't having all natural? I mean, it's like hello.
Yeah, see, now you can understand that Big Dreams isn't just our personal big dreams. It's about big
wow.
dreams for our society, for our country,
yes,
right.
for people on the planet, because
yes.
we are losing
absolutely.
It. you know,
yeah.
from what
we're
putting in our
it.
Mouth and the way we're working and the way we're living. This is
it's
a big
so
dream.
True.
It is a revolution, Charlie.
It
no,
is a revolution.
Is
and
amazing.
Guys, you heard it here first. This is the beginning of the revolution for us, because this is
amen.
Something that I have been so passionate about for like the last 2 years since my life got turned upside down because of a medical condition. And for me, it really wasn't the medical condition, because that I got, okay, I understood what it was. It was the attitude and the arrogance of these medical professionals looking at me like, it's all right, little lady, I know what's right for you. Really?
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 Yeah.
You know what's right for me, yet, you know, up to this point, my life, my health, was okay, and then I'm making all these changes that you're telling me, and it keeps getting worse and worse. Well, we'll try this medicine, we'll try that medication. Not working. I'm not your guinea pig. You know what I mean? That's what
yeah.
we have to ask ourselves, people. We're not guinea pigs. We're human beings.
Right.
We need to ask, what are you putting into my body? What are you telling me to take? So the reality is,
no.
Steve, you're committed. I am so booking you for next week. I had a guest
it.
Coming in next week, but you know what? I love them, and they'll understand this is something that needs at least 2 hours, because I really want to get more into what Big Dreams is about. I want to get more into the revolution. I want to get more into Z and Kristen, and to get you more in, because I really think that you can use this show as a platform to get people excited, so that if we
yep.
can get 100 people in the chat room, those are going to be 100 people that are going to talk to other people about what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
and we need to get the word out.
Yep.
This is
absolutely.
This is do or die time for us as a society.
And I
and
also,
I'll
yes? let you finish, but I also have a comment I want to make before we let
No, go ahead, my man. You can make the comment, but I have to say real quick, George, you're a riot. George says he wouldn't trust the lettuce from McDonald's.
Well, he's actually
George,
one of the.
Share this comment real quick. I know we're a family show, so I'll keep it clean. But I read on Facebook the other day that it said going to McDonald's for a salad was like going to a professional lady for a hug.
You know, it's so funny that you're talking about McDonald's because I was just in Saratoga Springs, and I had a flip camera from Z and Kristen, and
mm-hmm.
I happened to drive by a McDonald's, so I made this little clip, and it's up on my Facebook page, so if your audience listeners want to go to my personal page, Stephen Kander, they can probably check it out if they go down it, but I labeled it as, like, McDeath. And so I turned on the flip, and I focused on the 99 billion served, and I was like,
oh,
welcome to McDeath, 99 billion sickened, you know.
Holy moly, I know,
oh
it's
my God,
so
Steve,
rad.
You got to tell Charlie what you found out about men losing 35 pounds. But you got to keep it clean. You got to keep it clean.
Okay.
Well,
okay. So I just want to tell your listeners, too, that I'm back in Boston, and last week I was in Chicago, and I appeared on Oprah's weight loss finale. And it will be airing this Tuesday on May 10th.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to check your local listings, I will be in group number 3, and I was happened to be handpicked from 100 people across the country. It lost
mm-hmm.
100 pounds or more. Of course, I was probably the one that lost the most there. But regardless, so on this show, it happened to be one of the poignant stories because they focus on 5 people that have completed their weight loss journey. And one of them happened to be about a guy. And the story was that Dr. Oz, it was an episode that Dr. Oz was on with Oprah, and he was talking about the average obese man. For every 35 pounds that he loses, he regains 1 inch of his manhood. Now, immediately when he said this, I'm sitting in the audience shaking my head up and down. You darn tootin'. That's right. And I lost 360 pounds. So you can imagine. And then there was a guy in the back of the audience, and he shot his arm way up in the air, and he was like, yeah. And Oprah lost it. I mean, Oprah almost fell out of her chair, I swear. I hope they're going to have it on this show because it was great.
That
it
is hysterical.
So
oh, man.
It
see,
was...
and that right there, it's like, oh, man, there's just a whole round part. And that's another thing with our society. It's so funny. Like, some of the stuff we'll talk about freely and some of the stuff's like, shh, no, taboo. It's all around health. We're not just talking about having the ability to run a marathon or running around with our grandchildren.
Right.
It's also
your
about the quality of life. Feeling better about yourself. I mean, of course it is. And the thing is, it's funny because, like, well, guys don't think about that. I'm like, I don't know what guys you're talking to, but guys think about that, about being sexy and feeling good and handsome and all. Of course it does. It is. But anyway, oh, my God, Steve. So definitely to our listeners, you all have to come back next Thursday. We're going to have Steve back on, and I'm giving him the whole 2 hours because this is, like, bigger than any of us in this chat room. And for some listeners that asked if you could come back, absolutely. You can come back next week. And definitely
yes,
you
and
can call in. Make sure you
also
call in.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The comments in the chat room are killing me. Pandy says, I pity the next woman he is with. Laugh out loud.
Well, I definitely want to encourage one of the people that are in our chat room, George,
mm-hmm.
to please definitely call us back next week. I did try to get him on, and something was happening with the phone connection. So, George,
yes.
If you can hear us, please definitely give us a call back next week, and hopefully the phone issue will be better. I don't know what happened, but
mm-hmm.
it was just...
Also, what I'd like to do, too, Jeff, you mentioned if you could come back, absolutely, you can come back. Also, call us next week. Let us know what your update is. For you guys that are out there doing with Stephen has suggested, I would love to hear you all call back next Thursday. Give us an update. Tell us what's going on in your life and, you know, what progress you made, because that's what this is all about. We want to hear from you, and it's a way for us all to get pumped up. You pump Stephen up because what he's done has pumped you up, and it's just paying it forward, and that's what it's all about. And make sure
that's
you let other people know about what Stephen is doing. We're going to try to get
Absolutely.
Him as much exposure on our show as possible. As
exactly.
a matter of fact, I might have a little idea brewing on right now about giving George his own 2 hours in the next coming weeks. Because we do have the capacity to do that, and I'm sure you guys would enjoy that. I just got to corral Steve to see what day works for him and give him his own two-hour segment that we can walk him through, because he's eloquent as anything on the radio. He just needs to walk his way through it. I think it would be a great idea. What do you think, Steve? You start your own show.
That sounds great.
Yeah,
we
would definitely
be
with.
And I know I'd be a listener.
Yeah, we'd be a listener and we'd help you through it. And it just to we'll definitely talk about that more afterwards. Steve,
sure.
thank you so much for connecting me with Steve. And like I said, I hope you come back. Kristen, we need to get you back next week because I don't want to rush you and it's not going to do justice to what I want you guys to share. So if we can get the three of you to come back next week, going to give you the whole two-hour segment so that we can
sure.
get the word out and definitely do it justice. I'm looking forward to it.
We thank you so much.
Absolutely, Steve, thank you so much. And Stephen, thank you so much. Oh, Stephen, before you go, contact information
yes.
if people want to get a hold of you.
Oh, yes. You can, first of all, you can join or check out my webpage. It's called stevenicanderhealthpage.weebly.com. That will show you the entire story. I've got video blogs and stuff on there. You can also check out on Facebook Steve's Massive Weight Loss fan page. If you start to type in Steve's Massive, I think that's the only thing that will pop up. And then, of course, my personal page on Facebook as well is Steve Nicander, Nicander. Just go there in front of me and check out some of the stuff and the articles I have. It's all free information. I'm only reiterating stuff that I've learned and stuff that I read. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, information is power. And when I started this whole thing, I said it's all about experimentation, determination, and perspiration. And if you get the right information, you can and you know how to harness that information. We all are capable of superhuman things. And you know,
yes.
I mean, a lot of people look at me and say, "Oh my God, this is so wonderful!" And boy, you've had such amazing. But I'm convinced that anybody that has their forthright, that willpower, and that determination, they can make these simple lifestyle changes and totally transform their life as I have. It's possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is that you have to admit, on my part, the messenger is just so eloquent and so passionate about it. And I think that's what makes it so valid for us, Steve, because you've been there, done that, gone through the dark times, gone through, like you said, you hit bottom, to come back up, and then to have that desire to bring the rest of us with you is just beyond words, and that's something that's why it's so important to get this message out. So for our listeners, please join us next week. We're going to have Steve and Z, and hopefully Kristen will be able to call in next week. We're going to have them for the whole two-hour segment, so come back with your questions, come back with any comments that you might have, or if you just want to talk to them in general, because like I said, this subject is so important right now and is such at a time in place that it has to get out, and I believe it deserves the time. It deserves us listening to it, talking about it, and going beyond that and actually putting it into action. So, guys, thank you so much for joining me this week, and I am so looking forward to having you guys back next week for the whole two-hour segment.
So are we. Thank
much
you.
Much love, Charlie. You too, Mountain Man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You guys are so encouraging. And I'm looking forward to having you guys back next week.
Thank
All right,
you.
Buddy.
Take care. Bye-bye.
For our listeners, I have got to say, hands down, that was the best, absolutely best segment we've had on our show since we started, just because of the fact that it's something that I am so passionate about, something that we have been talking about on our show for over a year and a half. And to have Steve, who's, you could just feel it. He's passionate about it, his kindness to reach out to other people, the way people love him, George and Sherry, and we have Jeff and Tim and all these other people that are here that are saying, yes, he's incredible, he's helped us out. That says a lot. And this is someone that You guys know me. When I'm passionate about something, I don't let it go. I'm a lot like Z, and I will not stop till this man is on a national platform because, like they said, time for the revolution, baby. So I'm so pumped for next week.
I cannot believe we had a full house on our lines. Our lines were just going off the board.
I love it. You guys rock, and I am so glad. For those of you that weren't able to get through, please come back next week. We're going to have Steve back from 7 to 9 Eastern Standard Time, so you can give us a call and talk to Steve and get more information or whatever it is that you want to share with him, because this is a message that definitely needs to get out. Also, make sure that you actually get the word out to everyone else. Real quick, we need to get this one guest on because he has been so patient.
Well, we need to get guests on because they have been very patient with us. So if you don't... Okay.
Go right
one
ahead. Bring them all
disappeared.
In. Bring them in.
I was going to bring them both on, but one disappeared on us. So if
well, that's
Angel,
okay.
if
bring
you
the
call
other
us back, that would be great. Thanks.
Yes.
But we'll bring Bill McLean on.
Bill!
Hey, guys.
What's up, Bill? I am so sorry we kept you waiting so long, but hey, we had the Z in the house. You know how hard it is to get that lady.
Yeah, buddy. You know, I've almost worked with Z a couple of times. We've bumped like ships in the night, but haven't worked together yet.
It will happen. We're very like-minded. It's funny, for you guys that don't know, we work a lot in the entertainment industry in film and movies, and it's funny how certain type of people like Bill and I, we have a certain quirky personality, and we just kind of gravitate to the same kind of people, which is so freaking cool, because that's the type of people I like to work with. So, Bill, I have to get right to you, my man. Question,
and we also
I wanted to know. Yes?
Angel is on as well. I brought her on as well.
Okay, put her on hold. We'll grab her at the end. Bill, Scooter Magruder, what's going on? Premier Awards, what's up with that?
We entered the film into the LA International Film Festival. We're up against 110 films from all over the world, and we actually won Best Feature Film.
Wow.
That's amazing. That is so amazing. Now, for the people that haven't heard before, how many films actually submitted, how many got picked, and out of how many was your movie the one that won?
A little over 200 films were submitted. 110 got picked, and 5 films out of those 110 won an award. We won the Best Feature Film Award.
That's awesome. That see, for our listeners that don't know, this has been my little pet project because I got the opportunity to read the script firsthand from Bill when we had just first met, and I loved it. And I told Bill from the jump, this is going to be a hit because I've read so many scripts that weren't that good. Some that were some of them just been there, done that, rehashed or whatever. But this was so original and just so well-deserved. So where do you see it? Now, you have a premiere coming up for Scooter Magruder?
Yes, ma'am, next Thursday. Actually, during your next show, it's at 7 p.m.
Yes.
And it's in Portland, Maine, at the Nickelodeon Cinemas on Walk Temple Street in Portland, Maine. It starts at 7. There's a big carpet at 6. So the actors and people involved can go up the carpet, get interviewed, get some pictures taken. I heard there's going to be a great big 8x9 poster wall behind us with Freight Train Films on it. So it should be a good time. Then we're going to have the film. The film starts at 7. Then after the film, immediately after, they're letting us do a Q&A so that any actors that were in the film or crew that want to get up and field questions from the audience will have some time until they kick us out.
That is so cool. That is so cool. Yeah, you're actually having the premiere for our listeners. I'm actually going to be having a guest host next week to be here with Steve because I definitely want to see this because to me this is like my baby too. To see, this is the first time in my life where I've had the honor of seeing something from going from paper to film, to award, to whoa, you know what I mean? It's really big for me, so that's why I'm really excited about it. Now, Bill, you were mentioning in some of the emails something about a bill in the Maine State Legislature. What is that about?
Oh, well, I recently spent a couple of weeks working at the Maine State House, the legislature in Augusta, and I went there as a guest of a specific legislator and was able to sit in on a few things about Maine being more film-friendly. And some of the things didn't go through because they were looking for, you know, millions of dollars, and Maine doesn't have millions of dollars. But
mm-hmm.
I had an opportunity to go to another type of meeting where Maine was trying to put together something for Maine filmmakers to help with filming. You know, not millions of dollars, but something to help a filmmaker in Maine that wants to put their idea on screen. And so we drafted, I was invited in on the actual ground floor. We drafted a bill that went up in front of the committee for a loan for Maine filmmakers, and the film has to be shot in Maine or about Maine, you know, something about Maine has to be in the film. And upon completion of the film, the loan converts to a grant, so it does not have to be paid back. And
really?
We're able to word this, and the amount is $100,000, not to exceed 40% of the budget. And that may not seem like a lot of money, but to an independent filmmaker, you can make quite an amazing movie for $100,000.
That is huge.
It's huge. So I wanted to take baby steps. You know, why go for the full Monty and try and get them all in, try and get Hollywood over here? Why not take a couple of little steps and get in the right direction? Well, we put this together. They put it in 3 days later in front of the committee, a bipartisan committee, Democrats
mm-hmm.
and Republicans. And for the first time in I don't know how long, they told me, the bill was passed unanimously through the committee.
Wow, that is phenomenal news, because some of our listeners, if you don't understand, one of the hardest things to do as a filmmaker is to get funding. You can go to a regular traditional bank and you're like, I want to make a movie. And they're like, okay, where's your collateral? Well, the movie. But that's just, you know, something on a hard drive. Or it doesn't work that way. It's not like I'm going to open a restaurant and they can repossess the restaurant, or, you know, what am I going to do, take a movie, and then what am I going to do with it kind of thing. So, yeah, that is really huge, because, and then also the good aspect of it is that it actually forces the filmmaker to be serious about their craft of, okay, I'm getting this money, and my incentive is to finish the movie to get it converted into a grant, otherwise you have to pay it back. So
that's amazing news. Yeah, that's exactly why we put the wording that way. It's to not only help them, but to drive them to finish the project. And what people don't think about, they think $100,000, that's a small change, but to independent film in New England, that's a big, huge step, first step in the right direction for getting, you know, the states to help out. And that's because, think about it, 40% of the budget, that means if you can get that loan for $100,000, you can take that and go to any investor and go, look, I have 40% of my budget.
Mm-hmm.
Here's $100,000, and guess what? Here's the beauty. As soon as the film's finished, it's a grant. I don't have to pay it back, and you, Mr. Investor, you don't have to share your profits with these people because it's done.
That's
and let
awesome.
Me tell you, that should be a great incentive for those guys to step up and give you the money.
Well, yeah, because now you're coming. You're not coming empty-handed. You're saying
that's a
huge amount. I know people don't think it is, but I mean, I saw what you guys did on Scrooge McGruder for the amount of money that you guys did, and I would be in awe of what you could do if you had a quote unquote a real budget. Because, like I said, Scrooge McGruder to me is an amazing movie, and knowing how you guys basically shoot it together with a tiny budget, I mean, $100,000 is huge for a filmmaker.
Yes.
Now, you completed Scrooge McGruder, you're on your high now with the award, and you going on to the premiere and then looking for distribution. What projects do you have coming up next?
Well, the next project, we have two coming up that have been getting a lot of interest from investors, which is good. and some other directors. And that, those two films are the Red Shirt, which is, I'm sorry, are you still there?
Yep, we're here.
Okay, sorry. The next one is Red Shirt, which is a truly scary horror film. You remember reading Scooter and you laughed. When I write comedy, I want you to laugh. When I write horror, I want you to be screaming in the room.
Oh, trust me. No, I had a taste of your horror. This man decides to send me a link to a clip of a little thing he did. Of course, he didn't. He said it was scary. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, I've seen cheesy horror things. Like a nutbag, I was watching this at 1 o'clock in the morning in the dark by myself because no one was home in this big creepy house. Let me tell you, I think it was the first time since The Exorcist came out, I had my lights on. And I went and checked in my garage with my gun to make sure there was no creepy guys in there. He scared the bejeebies out of me. And then, of course, I hadn't realized it. I sent the link to my son, who was by himself in his dorm in Nevada. He's a film student. And he calls me at 2 in the morning going, "Woman, what were you thinking sending me that?" He's like, "My roommate isn't even here." So trust me, when Bill McLean does horror, he does horror good. No, some of the tricks you used in that little clip you did with Red Shirt, I was like, I was claustrophobic. I'm like, "God, can't take this thing off of me," you know, because I know that's the effect you were going through. But it didn't come across as cheesy. It really worked. Like, I really felt like I was the one that had that stupid mask on my face, the burlap sack. I was like, oh, man.
Well,
so Red Shirt is the next one, and then you have what else is the other one that you have?
Red Shirt's coming up next. We have director and we have crew putting together, and hopefully we'll have funding in the next couple of weeks, which is great. The next one after that is called The Cloning, and it's a sci-fi thriller. There's just a little bit of sci-fi. Most of it's 100% accurate, so it's truthful enough for people to go, "Ooh, no, that could really happen." It's called
especially
The Cloning.
In Maine.
Yes. It's called The Cloning, and we're very excited about it. We've already got companies that are willing to distribute the film as soon as we finish it, so that's, you know, that's incentive to get it made. Because as you know,
that's
independent
awesome.
Film, if you can get an independent film distributed, you're ahead of 99% of the crowd.
It is 99% of it, because there's a lot of great movies out there that are just sitting on shelves and nobody knows about them. You're right.
Yep.
Distribution is
yep.
huge when it comes to the indie market. So you're going to start filming Red Shirt first? For the cloning, or are you doing both?
It depends on the investors. If the money comes through for Red Shirt, we're jumping on that. If the money comes through the cloning, we're going to jump on that. But the good news is we have two ready to go and ready to jump at any minute. So we're pretty excited about it. Now, the people that are
now, you said that for Red Shirt, you have the director and the crew. Are you going to be announcing auditions and stuff coming up?
Yes, we will. There'll be auditions coming up for key characters. One of them is actually the lead female in the film. The film is not completely cast. We do have several cast members in place that I've been working with for 2 and 3 years. So they're excited to get going. But there will be some major cast auditions, and one of them includes the lead female. So yes, there will be some auditions coming. The next one after that with the clone, that movie is more than likely going to be directed by a good friend of mine, but who's done some other films. But we just finished filming a movie in last fall called Back to the Beyond, a ghost story about off the coast of Maine. It's like a ghost chaser movie. People love to watch those ghost chaser films, you know, television shows, stuff like that. So this is an actual, thriller of a film. It's a little scary. It's a little thriller, a little exciting. And that film was made by DeBacco Films, and Kevin DeBacco directed it. He also edited it, and Ralph DeBacco, his brother, wrote it and helped produce it. And Freight Train Films was lucky enough to help produce the film, so we've got a production credit on that coming. And I got one of the five leads in the film, so I got a nice lead role in the movie.
Awesome!
I'm very excited for it to come out. It comes out in June. And it has just been sold with worldwide rights in all categories, meaning
wow.
a DVD and theater and pay-per-view.
That is so huge. That is
yeah,
really huge.
very excited about that. The Debacle Films has been working really hard here in Maine for many years. They are, to date, the only company that has actually distributed feature films or independent. They've done two now in the last 3 years, and they have another one on the way. So we're very excited about this coming up. I wanted to give a shout-out to Kevin DeVanco, who just recently had some surgery, and he's recovering, and he's doing well. So we're very, very happy to hear that he's doing better. And
that's
I'm looking forward to the premiere in June. When that premiere comes out in June, look out, because now I'm an international actor.
Bill, oh, my God. It's going to be the Bill McClain. You know, it's awesome, because I can't wait for that to happen. I really, and Bill, you
we'll
know
see.
Me. I don't blow smoke up people's butts. I really think you're going to be, like, the next best thing to come out of Maine when it comes to horror, besides Stephen King, because you just... you're just phenomenal, like the way you create a character and you bring it to life. Like if you see Scooter Magruder and then you see Redshirt, you're like, that cannot possibly be the same person. But it is. But you are scary. For as funny as you can be, you are a scary bad guy. And trust me, if you ever popped out at an alley at me in scary mode, I will shoot you and ask questions later. I will send you flowers afterwards to the hospital when I realize it's you, but trust me, that's how creepy you are. And the thing is, when you meet Bill McClain, the guy, he's the sweetest, nicest, most lovable guy. You want to take him home to mother, you know what I mean? But you just have such a knack for creating these characters, and your talent definitely needs to get out there. One of the things that, you know, like earlier in the show we were talking about people's perceptions with weight and stuff. One of the things that I love about you, Bill, is that you recognize that an actor's talent or an actress's talent doesn't disappear when they hit 40 or 45 or 50.
Right.
Their sex appeal doesn't disappear. Their sexiness, their exoticness, their physicality, none of that disappears. But Hollywood thinks that if you're not in your 20s or your 30s, you're pretty much done.
Oh, you wish to see this. We've got some women coming in Redshirt that are well over 40, and they are going to blow you away. They're going to—I mean, you're not ever going to see a sexy woman like this. They're excited. And by the way, Redshirt, the official trailer for Redshirt, the official Freight Train Films trailer, will be out in just a couple of weeks. We'll be putting it everywhere so people can see what's to come. And when you see some of this footage, it is absolutely going to blow you away.
Yeah, just make sure you watch it in the daytime with the lights on, people. We don't want anybody freaked out.
I have to say this. I cannot believe where the time has gone.
I know. It's insane. Bill, I want to make sure that we have you, not next week because we have the premiere. I will be up there for that because, like I said, I've already arranged for a guest host. But the week after, I would really like you to come back so we can recap about the premiere. And if you want to have a couple of your actor buddies that were in the film come on as well, that would be great so that they can...
Oh, that would be awesome. Yes, I'd be
happy
would
be great. I think that would be awesome because you know how you mentioned that they're going to have a Q&A after the premiere.
Yes.
I think it would be kind of cool to have a Q&A on our show as well. So if you can arrange that, have a few, you know, have them all come over. We have plenty of time here.
That sounds awesome. Oh, and one last thing here. You're going to get a fat hug when you come up here.
Just don't be Redshirt. I'm going to shoot you.
Also, I
have to ask this. I have to ask this.
Yep.
When Scooter Magruder comes out on DVD, please make sure I get a copy. That's all I ask.
Yes, we'll get you a copy. You'll actually get an autograph. So Bill, you were going to say real quick?
Yes, and I will personally autograph that for you, buddy. But yes, after the premiere, after the film is over, we do the Q&A, we actually secured a really nice restaurant downtown. They're going to close for business and have just the cast and crew and anyone else that wants to attend for an after party for the film. And
that's awesome.
You know, it's Go Dutch. You got to bring money to buy food there. But, hey, we'll have a nice, really cool surprise.
It'll be
there.
Fun.
It's free. We'll have a nice surprise that's free there. And we're looking forward to having that.
I am wicked excited because this is my first premiere where I actually have a tiny part in it. This is my baby. It's my first premiere, and I'm so excited. I mean, I've gone to premieres for friends and stuff, but never for anything that I had been involved in. So to say giddy is like an understatement.
Well, we got 90 seconds left.
Yeah, I told my husband, dude, you're getting me a new dress. That's all there is to it. Bill, thank you so much for being patient and holding on. And remember, get everybody down there. So the day, the Thursday after the premiere, we'll have them come down and have a Q&A with us on the show.
Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye,
hon.
Have
thank
a great
you.
One. Oh, man, to all our listeners, thank you so much for joining us. It has been an amazing show, and if you want any more information on Stephen, he'll be back next week. I will not be here. We're going to have a guest host. I will announce it later on in the week. We'll put it up on our segment page. He'll be here with Mountain Man to help you guys through it, and I hope you enjoy it because I'm going to have fun at the premiere in Maine. Thank you so much for always being here. And from what we gathered from Jeff and George and Tim and from Stephen, guys, remember, do not let anybody ever, ever, ever steal your dreams away. You control that, only you. And remember, nothing is impossible to the willing heart. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for being here, Mountain Man. Thank you for being part of the crew once again.
Thank you, and we'll go out with Boston Sands.
Sounds good. Have a good night, everyone.
Cartier, put it up, man. Damn. Three stripes, baby. Yeah. Be down. You ain't no I said, Boston, stand up. Stand up. The Beans, your city, fair Boston. Stand up. Stand up. The Beans, your city, Boston. Stand up. Stand up. The Beans, your city. Stand up, stand up. One time, say the name. One time, where we at? Bring it back home over the Celtics, the Bees, and the Patriots. Red Sox swinging, we beat down slugging. Aerosmith rocking out the big North Garden. Y'all don't want Tessie, y'all want Cardi. C-Dot, Roddy. I'm the only rapper alive, bring metal like this. My life comes alive, start a riot like this. From South down to Southie, Rock, Terry, Metapan, Dorchester, Somerville, with the Hill, J.B., E.C., Nancy, y'all want Cardi, Everett, Morgan, stand up, suburbs, Lowell, Lawrence, this, that, murder, three strikes, man, y'all know what it means, y'all don't get it, y'all ain't from the